Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life.
Bible study class, and so let's take some time and actually study God's Word. And I want to start a very familiar passage of Scripture. There are sometimes we think the familiar passages of Scripture leave nothing for us to learn. But the very fact of the matter that they are so familiar, it means we need to spend more time on them sometimes because we stop looking for things in the familiar passages. We're just kind of reading over them because we know what they say and we've heard so many messages on it. But the benefit of them is because we're familiar with it, you can actually make a lot of progress. Where some of the obscure passages, you have to spend most of your time, you know, giving the background, getting, you know, people up to speed, and so you get, you know, get a couple of life lessons from it. But in this passage of Scripture, I find both a lot of encouragement, help, and a lot of source of controversy, even among Bible-believing Christians, on some of the applications of it. So let's try to find some help here, beginning in verse number 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Isn't it good to know that God doesn't want you ignorant? What does that mean? It doesn't mean we use the word, oh, somebody's ignorant, as if they're stupid. Yes, ma'am. Oh, I'm sorry, chapter 11. Or chapter 12, I mean, chapter 12. I thought it was so familiar I didn't have to announce the chapter, right? The preacher's kid had it, right? She had it. Oh, yeah, I know where that's at. Yeah, I got it all memorized, right? You don't even bring your Bible, do you? Because you got it all memorized. Oh, you have it. Is it all right if I pick on you?
Yeah.
Now that I've started? Okay. I seldom withhold harassment, and so, especially from PKs. I'm glad that God doesn't want us ignorant. And what that means is he doesn't want us lacking knowledge. And so he gives us the information we need. Don't worry as you read the Bible. Don't worry about the things you don't know. Because what he wants you to know, he will tell you. And so worry about the things you do know. By the way, my struggles in the Christian life are not because there's things I don't know. It's because I don't find it in me to do the things that I already do know. And so that's really where, and sometimes I have people say, well, what if there's some sin? What if there's something I'm unaware of? If God wants you to deal with it, he'll point it out to you.
Amen.
He'll bring it up. You don't have to, you know, just go on a 40-day fast because there might be a sin hiding somewhere that you're not aware of. The Holy Spirit of God is well able to speak to you and reveal that to you. So he doesn't want you to be ignorant about many things. Yesterday I did a funeral. We put the body of one of our longtime members, one of our ladies, to rest. And God says that he didn't want us to be ignorant about those which sleep in Christ. Amen. He doesn't want us ignorant. And so he says, I don't want you ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know that, verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus cursed, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretations of tongues. But all these worketh that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In these 11 verses, I just want to point out a couple of things. And we're not going to do, I'm not going to take time, and we don't have time, to go through and break down all of the spiritual gifts listed in the Bible. I think it is important for us to understand, to let God reveal to us what our spiritual gifts are. Once in a while, I probably need to do it again with our church. I'll go through, I hand out, I have a spiritual gifts test that I've adapted from other resources, and I've adapted it to my purposes, and hand it out for people to be able to just go through and just try to use that, let God use that to help them focus in on possibly what their spiritual gifts are, and then areas of ministry within the local church where those spiritual gifts can be applied. And the reason for that is kind of like, it's like Christian HR. Right? It's figuring out what God has equipped me to do and then looking for a place under the direction of the pastor to apply those spiritual gifts. And so there are really three lists, main lists of spiritual gifts in the New Testament and in all Paul's letters. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8 lists approximately seven spiritual gifts. In the passage that we were just reading, there are some 13 spiritual gifts. And in Ephesians 4, there are five spiritual gifts listed. There's other places in the Bible that probably list some things that either could overlap, duplicate, or add to. But those are the three main lists of spiritual gifts. I want to say, by way of introduction also, do not be troubled by it mentioning the gift of tongues, because that's a whole separate Bible study on what speaking in tongues was in the Bible. But suffice it to say, speaking in tongues in the Bible was never what speaking in tongues today is. It's not that there's one element where what happened in the Bible has ceased to exist for a specific reason. But it's also significant to understand that what happened in the Bible has no resemblance. It's never been what they are doing today. And so not only is what they're doing today unique and separate and extra biblical outside of the Bible, but even what occurred in the Bible has since become obsolete by the completion of the Word of God. It is no longer necessary, and it was only applicable to show the Jewish people that what was happening was from God. And so that's a summary of a kind of a long study that we don't have time to get into now. But I'm simply saying, let not your heart be troubled that it's mentioned in this passage, because at that point, it was still in effect. Why? The Bible had not been completed. So they still, the Jewish people, still needed that verification that this was from God. So let's get into some biblical principles that guide us in the use of spiritual gifts. Now, one of the focuses that you have this year, or the focus that you have this year, is serving in the house of God, right? That we're finding our place and how we can help and how we can contribute. And let me say this, that there's no peace that doesn't matter, right? I was a couple of years back, I was visiting our missionaries down in Brazil. And in the evenings, I would spend time with the kids. They're a long way from home and et cetera, so they find hobbies. And so one of their hobbies was putting together puzzles. They loved putting together puzzles. And so I would spend time with some of the kids, and we're putting together puzzles they've been working on for a long time, and we'd tear into that and get busy with that. And I remember one puzzle that they had worked on for a long time, and we just put our heads, our noses to the grindstone, put our heads down, and just worked on it till we were going to finish this puzzle before I had to come back to the U.S. And we got down to, and there was like one or two pieces missing. And so it's like, oh, I can't tell you. I did. It's like, well, it's just one or two pieces. No. No, we were. I mean, that was like, that's the culmination of months of frustration for them, that all of a sudden, you know, we got this done and there are one or two pieces missing. Every piece matters.
Amen.
And so the missionary wife down there is very, she's creative. She took a digital picture of the area and then printed it out and made some pieces to fit in there. So we finished the puzzle. But it was amazing what she did. You couldn't tell unless she pointed it out to you. But no piece of a New Testament church should ever feel like they don't matter, because everything matters. I showed up at our church yesterday for a funeral, and I turned on all the lights in the auditorium, and one of the spotlights over the pulpit went out. It's like, it's just one light in the building. But it matters, because it's right there. Then it comes back on. Then the other one goes off. Then it comes back on. Then they both go off. And you talk about frustrating. We're about to start a funeral service. Our lights are 15 feet up in the air, and our auditorium ceiling is 15 feet up in the air. There's no way I can get up there and do anything about it. Then they finally came back on. I just had to walk away. I thought, if I'm not near them, maybe they'll be fine. You say, it was just a couple of lights. Yeah, but every piece matters.
Sure.
I always say that if I'm trying to help set up, you know, help pastors with their auditoriums, lighting, sound, temperature. I said, the goal is that if you have it right, nobody notices.
Amen.
Nobody ever comes in and goes, man, the temperature is just right in here. You know what they say? They come in and say, man, it's freezing in here, or man, I'm burning up in here. They only notice when something's wrong, right? And the same thing is true when things are going well in the New Testament church and every part is working as it should, then nobody, it just is moving. But you let something fall off, you know, you let somebody's not there that week. And one of our guys recently was out of town for work. And it's like, oh, wait a minute. There was nobody there to open the door. There was nobody there to turn on the lights. There was nobody there. I mean, he's the guy that makes sure that the walks up into the auditorium or up into the building are shoveled, and all these things had to happen. And it's like that one guy made such a huge difference. One of our main families just moved away from the state of Wisconsin. And I started counting up areas of ministry that one family was leaving vacant. And I stopped counting at 12. 12 areas of ministry that one family, they moved away. And I just quit counting. It was too discouraging, right? I was just like, okay, we got to fill all these vacancies somehow. Every piece matters. But let me just give some principles as we, not for finding our spiritual gifts, but for exercising our spiritual gifts, for the use of spiritual gifts. And I'd say, first of all, we need to understand that there's the universality of spiritual gifts. The universality, that means everyone has at least one spiritual gift. Notice back in our text in verse 7, the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. To every man to profit with all. Verse number 11. All these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. To every man. We need to understand that there's people sometimes can have the idea that, well, I've got nothing to contribute. Everyone has something to contribute. Let me just say this. By walking into this building this morning, you have contributed to the spirit of this service.
Amen.
You say, well, yeah, I don't see that. Well, just think, you know, and here's the thing. We don't realize when we're gone, we don't realize the impact that has on the service, because we're not there to see it. But just think about when you're there and somebody else is gone. It's like, oh, You know, immediately it's like one less person sitting in the auditorium, one less person to agree by saying amen, one less person to visit with and fellowship with, one less person to encourage and help and strengthen and edify, one less person. And so we don't recognize it, but even walking in the building, we've already contributed to the spirit of this service. And I can say, I hate preaching and teaching to empty seats. I've never had a pew walk the aisle at the invitation and get saved. Yesterday, what a blessing it was. It wasn't a large funeral. There weren't a lot of people there. I think with our own church people, because it was one of our church ladies, I think there were 40 people. But what a blessing it was that the invitation, she said she had left a handwritten note, shaky, real shaky handwriting. She was 89, I believe. She passed away 2 weeks ago. And in her shaky hand, she says, I hope Pastor will have a salvation message because I want my children and my grandchildren to be in heaven with me. And so I gave the plan of salvation, pointing people to Christ. And three ladies at the invitation raised their hand that they had trusted Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What a blessing. What a blessing. I've never had an empty seat raise their hand for salvation.
Sure.
Never had an empty seat dedicate its life to God. I never had an empty seat or a pew or a chair commit themselves to full-time Christian service. It doesn't happen. So even just walking in the door, you've contributed something. Everyone has something to contribute. And I believe this. I believe that when somebody gets saved, at the moment you get saved, I believe that the Holy Spirit comes and indwells that individual. I don't mean 10 years from today. I mean today. When you get saved, that's when it happens. And the Holy Spirit is the one who invests in you the spiritual gift that he desires for you to use in the ministry of Riverview Baptist Church.
Amen.
And so he gives to every man, not some men, to every man severally as he will. And so that's what the Bible says here in verse 7 and 11, given to every man to profit withal, and giveth to dividing to every man severally as he will. We're going to come back to those verses in a moment, but we just need to see that it's to every man. There's a universality. Ephesians chapter 4. And the Bible says in verse number 7, and I want you to notice this is talking about unity. It's talking about as we serve God, our high calling. You see that in verse 1, to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called. Verse 2, humility there, lowliness of mind. Forbearing one another in love. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Notice as you get down to verse number 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Someone once said, and I don't know, I probably haven't thought of through every scenario or every situation that's available. But I remember years ago hearing a pastor say, everything that's ever been available to anybody is available to everybody. That does not mean we are all the same. But if there's power that's been available to anybody, there's power available to everybody. If there's strength available to anybody, there's strength available to everybody. Why? Because God is no respecter of persons. And he wants to help one just as much as the other. Well, yeah, but I'm not the one up preaching. You understand that if there's nobody to listen, there's nobody to preach to. And so everybody has some part. Everybody has a part to lift, of the load to lift. There's universality. There's no one you can look at. If you go ahead and study down through and read, broken down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's like six pages of typed notes to explain this passage of Scripture. I've taken great pains to break it down because there's so much controversy that also comes out of this passage of Scripture. I spent the time breaking it down, but if you go through it, you'll understand this, that there's no peace that doesn't matter.
Amen.
There's no peace that doesn't matter. Right now, just 2 weeks and a couple of days ago, I had my left rotator cuff repaired, and so I'm a duck with one wing right now. And so I tell you that as an illustration, but also please don't come up and slap me on the back. Man, it's good to see you. And I might go right to the ground and cry like a little girl. And so I'm supposed to be in a sling, but I refuse to wear it while I'm preaching. So the sling is a reminder for other people, don't hit here. But you know, it's incredible. You know, now you're trying to do everything with one hand. It's like, well, do you miss that one hand?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. There's so many things. It's like, how am I going to do this? Going to, you know, hold, you know, so I'm punching cell phone buttons with my nose. You know, I'm just all the things you can't, you know. You say, well, why do you need two hands? Listen, we didn't need two hands. God would have given them to us, right? Amen? It's like the sound of one hand clapping. And so it's when one part is missing, if there's a deficit, and other parts have to try to compensate and make up for it, and it's limiting. So I'd say, number one, the principle of spiritual gifts is there's a universality. We need to understand God has enabled me to be a participant, not just a spectator. Christianity is not a spectator sport. It's for everybody to be participating. We're really close to Green Bay here. And so you can use Packer stuff for everything. But football is one of the ultimate team sports. And people talk about, you know, this quarterback or whatever. But, you know, and I'm going to say this, and somebody's going to find a YouTube video. Don't do it. Quarterbacks cannot catch their own passes.
Amen.
Somebody's going to find a YouTube video where a ball was batted and he came back to him and he caught it. And yeah, what happened next? He was probably buried under 350-pound lineman, you know, just so successfully, quarterbacks do not catch their own passes. And so guess what? The star quarterback that's a Hall of Famer, you know what he is if his receivers are bad and nobody catches it? He's the guy that's getting traded next year, right? He's a wash-up. They talk about, oh, man, he had so much potential, had so much upside. And yet, he's a bomb, like Chicago Bears quarterbacks always are, right? And ouch. So well, now you know where I stand. Anyway, but a lot of the problem is somebody's got to catch the ball. And the truth is, Christianity is the New Testament church is a team function. We serve together as a body, as a unit. And so there is universality. And then secondly, I'd say the second principle that governs or helps guide us concerning spiritual gifts is the principle of humility. The principle of humility. And I say that, look at verse number 12. Let's jump down through this passage. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. By the way, this chapter breaks down this way. Verses 1 through 11 are instruction. He's giving instruction about spiritual gifts. Right? These are the spiritual gifts. The same Spirit gives to every man several as he will. Right? Then it goes into illustration starting in verse number 12. For as the body is one, hath many members. It's talking about using the physical body as an illustration. You see that down in verse number 15, right? Yet the foot shall say, I'm not of the hand. Since I'm not the hand, because I'm not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Well, try doing without it. And yet you'll find very quickly that you're hampered in getting around. You say, well, it's just the foot. Well, it's just a shoulder. Or it's just a finger. Or it's just an ear. Or whatever else doesn't work anymore. And it matters. It all matters. I had such a goal years ago, preacher. My goal was to try to get to heaven with all of my original equipment intact, right? I wanted to go to heaven with all of my original. Well, now that's just not. I have both knees replaced and two shoulders. I don't have any idea what else is going to be fake by the time I get to. But God's going to figure all that out. It's not a problem. But I just had a goal, you know, and it's just I missed it. But we need to understand here is, in verse number 12, that there's all the different parts, but one body. And I want to mention this before I move on. It says, so also is Christ. So that tells you that the one body there, by the way, don't, you know, one of the rules, et cetera, of Bible interpretation is understanding what the words are in the context, et cetera. Do not let every time the word body shows up in the Bible, don't, because the Bible says, talks about the church as his body, and we'll talk about that in just a little bit, the church is his body, that does not mean every time the word body shows up, it's talking about the church. You say, well, wait a minute. What does that mean? I mean, because what did they do when Jesus died? They carried his body and put it in the tomb. All right? Did they put the church in the tomb? Well, no. Preacher, you say that'd be silly. Well, that's what I'm saying. Let the context tell you what it's talking about, right? And so that was his physical body. A church is a body of believers. The word body simply means, you know, any collection of pieces into a whole. The body of proof, right? Means all of the information gathered together and collected into one proof or one examination. And so it just means the collection of all into one. And that's what is true in Christ. You know who's in Christ? Everyone who is saved, right? Yeah. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And we are placed into Christ at the moment we get saved. And so it's saying, just like everyone who's saved is in Christ, just like the physical body has many members, and it goes on to lead into, notice in verse number 27. Let's skip ahead. Well, I started telling you how to break this chapter down. Verses 1 through 11 is instruction. Verses 12 down through verse number, see if I can read my own writing. Verse number 17 is illustration. Verse number 18 down through verse 26 is explanation. And then verses 27 through the end of the chapter is application. And so you know when we're going through this, what part of that we're in. So when we jump down to verse number 27, we are starting the application. And that's why it says, now ye are the body of Christ. Based on everything he said, teaching, giving us illustration about the physical body having many members. He says, now the way to apply this is, now ye are the body of Christ. Who's writing 1 Corinthians? The Apostle Paul. Who's he writing to? The Church of Corinth. So he's saying to a local church, you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Amen? Now, so notice this in verse number 29 and 30. Are all apostles? You understand what a rhetorical question is, right? A rhetorical question is a question where the answer is implied. Right? So since the answer is implied, there's no chance of you getting it wrong. Right? And so I'll go ahead and ask you, are all apostles?
No.
No. Are all prophets?
No.
No. Are all teachers?
No.
Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? You see, some of those gifts, and again, I'm sure your pastor has taught you, but I'll mention it now. Some of those gifts, even though they have become obsolete now, were in force then, right? But even when they were in force, there was no one person that had them all. And so there is a humility here in the fact that there is no omni-gifted Christian. But God is omnipresent, everywhere present, right? He is omnipotent, omnipotent, having all power. He is omniscient. He has all knowledge. There is no omni-gifted Christian who they've got it all. And it might seem like that if somebody gets up and they might be gifted with speaking and teaching, and they can break down the Word of God and give us instruction, whatever. We might just say, man, they've got it. They have the whole package. No, they're not. There are many spiritual gifts that they lack. You say, well, then what's the answer? Because that's where you supply. And every part supplies. Every back under the part of chapter 12 that gets into explanation, notice back up in verse number 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which are seen to be more feeble are necessary. Do you see that? The ones that seem to be more feeble are necessary.
Amen.
You just categorize. You go down through your church. I don't necessarily recommend you do this, but if you want to, you just kind of start thinking about most important responsibilities down to least important. And you just take off the bottom 10%. They're the least important. And things start, I mean, the thread starts to unravel. I mean, it's just, it doesn't take long before, you know, things aren't getting done and responsibility, and you can't carry on ministries anymore and et cetera. Why? Because even the smallest things are so important. And the Bible says it, the more feeble they seem, they are the more necessary. And so there's a humility involved. Why? Because no Christian is omni-gifted. Nobody has it all. No one of us is the complete package. Every one of us has been given a spiritual gift as God has directed. Then I have to hurry on. The third principle concerning spiritual gifts I want to give you is that of diversity. We've talked about it a little bit this morning, so I won't belabor the point. But believers are given different spiritual gifts from one another. By the way, back up real quick into chapter 12 there and verse number 12 and 13. For as the body is one, hath many members, all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. A lot of times, this is one of those verses that causes so much controversy and conflict. But understand this, that what Paul is doing is he's illustrating something for us so that we'll understand when he gets to the application of a local New Testament church, that we'll understand what he's dealing with. He's talking about that everyone is saved is in Jesus Christ. And the way we get there is the Holy Spirit puts us there the moment we get saved. And as the body is many, so also is Christ. If you want to make that body the church, you have to change that verse. By the way, nowhere in the Bible is Jesus Christ synonymous with the New Testament church. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. Nowhere is Jesus synonymous with the New Testament church. He's the head of the church. But you can't look at the church and say, that's Christ. That's Christ. Why? Because we are not Christ, we are in Christ.
Amen.
And so being in Christ is different than being Christ. Not only that, we know he's talking here in this verse about salvation, not service. Why? Because everywhere, everywhere that the Apostle Paul uses this terminology, whether they be Jew, Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, that language, everywhere Paul uses it, he's talking about salvation. Never about service, always about salvation. So in this verse, he's talking about the fact that those that are saved are in Jesus Christ. You're put there by the Holy Spirit. And so there is so that the body is not one member but many. We're understanding, what do we be, bond or free, Jew or Gentile? We've all got the same Holy Spirit. And so that's what he's referring to there. Now, because that's true, this is how a New Testament church functions. Let me say it this way. New Testament church is a micro representation of Jesus Christ. Amen. What do I mean by that? Let me go back and illustrate. Okay, in the Old Testament, God gave Moses the pattern for the tabernacle, mm-hmm. right? They carried it around with them. But if you read Hebrews chapter 9, 10, 11, 12, where's the real tabernacle? Right? In heaven. The Bible says that the tabernacle they carried around was a picture or a figure of the true, right? So the true is there. The type or the representation was on earth. Thy word is settled, O Lord, forever in, oh, not the bookstore, not my library, not in the pew. No, in heaven. What we say, well, what's this? This is a faithful representation of what is in heaven. The word of God is settled forever in heaven. And God has given us his word in written form so that we can know it. But guess what? If every copy was destroyed, it doesn't mean that there's no resource, because God's still the master copy.
Amen.
Right? And so, where are all the saved? Where are we positionally? We are all in Jesus Christ. What is the local New Testament church? It is a micro representation of what is true in Christ. So as we, as Riverview Baptist Church, functions as a body, you are representing what is true in Jesus. You don't have to go to Universal Invisible Church. You stay to local church and recognize that when a church functions as a body, it represents what is true in Christ.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, if you try to fit that into a universal invisible nothingness, it is the worst case of dismemberment in human history. Because they're scattered all over. You don't even know where the parts are. But so you say, what's the important part of that? There is diversity. There must be diversity. No machine operates without parts that are different one from another. That's just the fact. You take the computer back here and all the technology that's incorporated here. You take the structure of this building. It's dissimilar parts being put together to complement and assist one another in order that it might function. Go back real quickly into 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. And let me show you something real quick. Verses 4 through 6. And it says, number one, there are diversities of gifts, same Spirit. Verse 5, diversities of administrations, same Lord. Verse 6, diversities of operations, same God which worketh in all. So you've got three things there that says we're different in. We have different gifts. That's our spiritual equipping. There are different administrations. That's the ministries or offices that we hold. There's different operations. Diversity of operations, that is our effectiveness. And so in all these areas, there is diversity. It is one of the controlling principles of spiritual gifts that if it's going to work at all, it's got to be because we are diverse. Let me say this. The world Satan is a deceiver, and he's a copyist and a distorter.
Yes, sir.
And the world preaches, oh, diversity, diversity, diversity. And that might seem benign. And it might, it has this ring of truth, and people go, well, I see that. But there's no benefit to simply being different. You say, well, what's the Bible talking about? Diversity. It's differences that complement one another.
Yeah.
It's not just different is better. So I can, you know, our heat shield on our car dropped down on the muffler as soon as we left the house. This happens to us all the time when we go on a trip. So it's rattling, you know, for the whole time, you know, 5 hours down here. And it'll be rattling, you know, around town. And it'll be rattling, you know. So when we pull in the parking lot and hear it going, it's just that. It's just I can't do anything about it right now, right? And so it just happens. But all of those parts, it's not like I can go, oh, I go into a woodworking shop and here's a chisel. Oh, that's going to help me on my car. No. Being different is not the point. It's the diversity with intention to complement. When God puts diversity in the New Testament church, he is putting pieces that complement one another, that somebody else needs. We read just a moment ago that he gives these different gifts to profit with all. To profit with all. You say, well, who is supposed to be helped by my spiritual gifts? The answer is everyone else in the church. Everyone else in the church. Oh, nobody needs me. Everyone needs you. You might just be the encourager. And you're the encourager that everyone else needs. You might be the one that can see and discern, but you're the discernment that other people will benefit from. I'm just saying there needs to be, there's diversity is one of those principles. And then I'd say lastly, and I got to wrap it up here in 2 minutes, the principle of sovereignty. The principle of sovereignty. Look back in our text in verse number 11, all these worketh that one and self same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Bible does say that we ought to desire the best gifts earnestly. In verse number 31, earnestly, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet I show you a more excellent way. Chapter 13 then leads into the discussion of love. Charity, that's the best way. Amen? But what we need to understand is God determines what spiritual gifts he gives to people. Now, we might look at it and say, well, yeah, that's just kind of how I've always been. I've grown up this way. And so really, it's not anything God gave me. Did you ever stop to consider that maybe God brought you up that way or had you raised that way or had you developed that way because of what he knew was going to happen? And you got saved, and then God, he invests those natural abilities that he's developed in you. Now he puts the Holy Spirit behind them. And it is your spiritual gift. Don't you see that as God prepared John the Baptist from the womb? Don't you see that as God prepared Old Testament Samson from the womb? Don't you see that as God works in people's lives and develops them to be the people that they need to become? The abilities, I mean, the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, you can't find two more different people, right? Peter is uneducated. He's just a workaday fisherman. And if you just have to kind of imagine, he's not the you know, weekend fisherman twice a year go wet a line like you and me. He was the rough, tough guy down at the shore, you know, before the sun came up, throwing nets, mending nets, dragging in fish. I mean, he was rough. When Peter denied the Lord and cursed, that was not new for him. That was old for him. You take Paul. Paul is polished. He's educated. He's like Pastor Bockhaus. He's so different from Peter. And did God have a place for them both? Yeah. Now, are they where we would have placed them? No. If I want somebody, and I've got those two options, and I want somebody to go into the wild, wild west of the Gentile world and deal with all of the idolaters and deal with all of the drunkards and deal with all of the and all the all that stuff and being stoned and in prison, I'm picking tough guy Peter. Not Paul. Paul, a Jew's Jew. And he gives him the ministry of reaching the Gentiles. You say, well, man, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But that's the sovereignty of God. That's the plan of God. We need to understand that God gives us spiritual gifts according to his will, according to his wisdom. One more quick passage of scripture. We're done. I'm over time. Ephesians. Oh, matter of fact, we already read Ephesians chapter number 4. Where God, so let's just remember back to that. And God is giving according to the grace that God gives to every man. Let me encourage you. And again, I wish I had more time to specifically break down 1 Corinthians 12 for you. But understand that he's giving instruction that God gives spiritual gifts to every believer. He illustrates it with the physical body, fingers and toes, etc. He explains it, how that it applies to us, that the comely parts are more needful. That means that every part is important. Then he applies it and says, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Everybody is not the same. All have not been apostles or prophets, etc. But every part matters. As you this year focus on finding the way that you can participate in the work of God here and be a meaningful participant in it. Understand, God has given you a spiritual gift. There needs to be universality. Everybody has one. Humility. We're not all the same. Diversity. There must be difference for it to work. And then sovereignty, it's up to God to decide how he wants to implement that. Father, I pray that you'll give us wisdom enough to understand and comprehend these principles for this church that might apply them even more deeply. For those that might be discouraged that they don't have a spiritual gift maybe or are unsure what it is, God, I pray you'll reveal it to them and then help them to become that useful piece of this puzzle that you desire them to be so that this work can continue to go forward and grow and be healthy as you desire it to be. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.